Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 10th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, President Bush is scheduled to be in St. Louis this week for a bioenergy conference. He may use the forum to describe a new energy plan for the United States. And Democrat Collin Peterson has been stretching his legs just a bit. This in hopes that his party will take the House of Representatives in November and that he will take the chair of the House Committee on Agriculture. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll visit with two U of I ag economists. We'll hear stories with Daryl Good and Bob Thompson. Bob will take up food versus fuel and the debate swirling around ethanol. And Daryl will take a quick look at the corn market. Oh, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, willag.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to willag.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat at 5.01 was 7 higher. The March contract at 5.14.5, up 7 as well. And July futures in Chicago for the wheat pit finished the day at 4.54.75. They were off 24.25 for the day. Taking a look at how the corn pit finished, December contract at 2.75.5, down 14 cents. March futures at 288, down 14.5, and the May at 294.25, down 14.5. December contract at 306.5, off 14.5 cents. November soybeans 560.5, down 14. January's at 575.25. They were down 14. In the March at 585.25, off 13.75. November for next year at $6.16.75, down 14.75. October bean meal at $165.80, off $2.90 for the day. October bean oil down 44 at $24.26. October feeder cattle at the Mercantile Exchange $110.10. They were off 65. October live cattle at 88.27.5, off 92.5 cents. In December, December futures at 87.02.5 for the live cattle, down 80 cents. October lean hog $64.80, and they finished the day in the green, up 45 cents. Crude oil futures in the outside markets currently trading down $1.51 at $58.45. The CRB index at 299.35, that's off 4.21, and the dollar at 86.99, up 0.44. Dow Jones Industrial Average current trade at 11,855, and they're off just about 3 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us on this wild and woolly October the 10th, the Tuesday, is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Boy, good afternoon, Todd.
Still got your shirt?
Got this shirt, you know, but we're hanging on. It's been a wild roller coaster ride this week. And, you know, we're seeing that if there hadn't been quite the squeeze in the wheat that was there yesterday, that maybe harvest pressures start to take effect and wouldn't have had quite the opportunities that happened over the last day and a half.
So you're suggesting that the 14-cent drop came in part because there was a big move yesterday in the wheat, and 14-cent drop I'm talking about in the corn pit, came as part and parcel of what happened in the wheat pit and consequently the corn pit yesterday when it moved to new contract highs.
I think that they affected each other quite a bit, Todd. Yes, it did. We moved higher than we should have moved yesterday on the fundamentals of corn alone. It was bleed over buying. And, of course, you know, we saw the reaction that once the people that were caught in the wheat pit were able to get out today, that we weren't locked limit up and like that, that some of the corn that was bought yesterday to try to cover up for wheat that couldn't be bought was liquidated today.
So the 275.5 settlement price, good for tomorrow. Will we settle down or we still have more fireworks to go?
I think there's going to, you know, we're going to take a new look at things and sort of try to reassess here. If we can get wheat to settle down and get out of its fast market mode, why, I think that then we're going to start trading the report that's coming up on Thursday, the numbers and the harvest that we have, and looking at some harvest figures. And, you know, depending on where people are at as to whether they want to even up, whether they want to be long or short going into the report and the funds attitude to this, I think, is going to direct the market from here on more so than the wheat market has as of late.
I saw a wire report that suggested today's move lower might have been part and parcel of some position squaring before we got into the report on ideas that USDA's number was going to be bigger when it came out on Thursday morning. But I can't imagine that everybody hadn't already figured that one out. What are you seeing on the wire yourself?
Well, of course, you know, we see the same headlines that you do, Todd. You know, figuring out and anticipating, you know, the majority of the trade is anticipating a slightly larger number, basically equal to the one that Informa gave us. So that basically is the number that we have been trading, or should have been trading, or the majority of the market has been trading. So it has to be different from that number to really amount to anything or be a market mover. So it's sort of like we are pretty sure that we're going to see a great big bean number. So how big a bean number does it have to be to knock this market down? You know, because we're already looking for that big increase, you know, the 30, the you know, over last report. So how big a number does it take to drive the bean market down 20 cents?
Speaking of cash prices, just a bit, I was looking at the corn cash price. They were up, I think, at 284. It was 266.5 Central Illinois yesterday, 284 today. Is that a place where producers ought to think about selling something over the scale?
I think that longer-term corn prices can be better, but depending on your own situation, number one, cash flow, number two, storage capabilities and cost of commercial storage, I think it's a place in here when the basis has been fairly decent for fall and at these upper levels, as to consider, you know, some more cash sales as we come across the scale here. Because, you know, you have to add back in storage, you have to add back in interest costs and some things like that. So I think that, you know, depending on where you're at in your individual situation, if you don't have much sold and you do have to sell some stuff, yes, these are prices that I would help my cash flow situation out immensely.
Any final cautionary note or other note that we need to make before I let you go for the day?
I think that, you know, we've got some weather coming in here and we do have a lot of demand, but this has been a nice little pop. And if you do have to make some sales, you know, don't get overboard, but you can make a few here.
All right. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
And that's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Wayne joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoons.
Why is your support so important? Because this station relies on listeners for nearly one out of every $2 it spends to bring you programs. Since detailed analysis and objective reporting is important to you, please renew your WILL membership now. Mail your check today or give online at willpledge.org. Thank you.
Well, at the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day out of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Mike Sola says tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a few showers, some scattered thunderstorms, increasing coverage from west to east. The lows this evening from 47 in the north to 58 in the southeastern parts of Indiana. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, breezy, colder, scattered showers, some isolated thunderstorms. Those will be most numerous during the morning. Tomorrow's high is from 52 in northern Illinois to 72 in the far south. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with a complete look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580.
In agricultural news, President George Bush may announce new energy objectives at a USDA and U.S. Department of Energy conference Thursday in St. Louis. Reports are that the president will describe an advanced energy initiative, which focuses research and development for hydrogen, fuel cells, vehicle technology, biomass, solar and wind energy, as well as nuclear and clean coal research. Producers will also be waiting to see if the president will support an increase in the renewable fuels mandate, now 7.5 billion gallons by 2012. There are also questions of whether new mandates will focus on cellulosic material and biodiesel. A new report from the California Energy Commission says E85 is unlikely to be part of the state's pollution solution anytime soon. California blends roughly 900 million gallons of ethanol with gasoline each year. 96% of that ethanol comes from other states. Just 3 ethanol plants are operating in California, with another 10 in the planning stages or under construction. If Democrats gain control of the House in the November elections, Minnesota's Colin Peterson would likely be the next chairman of the Agriculture Committee. Peterson says the focus will be on Farm Bill 2007, and he promises the GOP and current chair Bob Goodlatte would have a voice.
If things switch over, there might be slight changes in emphasis, but the reality is in the Ag Committee, Bob can't pass a bill unless I'm on board, and I can't pass one unless he's on board.
Peterson says a key component he'll press for, whether Democrats are in the majority or minority, is an energy title and a permanent disaster crop insurance program.
What I would propose, and this isn't written in stone, is that that we would have a system where you would have to have some buy-up coverage in order to qualify for the disaster. And there'd be a pot of money the secretary would have, and there would be a fixed program in place, and when they declare a disaster, that's what would be used.
Peterson suggests a permanent disaster crop insurance program would actually cost less than ad hoc payments. A dispute that could threaten an Australian wheat export monopoly operated by AWB Limited has intensified over the potentially high costs to growers from the system. The dispute has also raised questions about possible major hedging and trading losses by AWB, which is one of Australia's biggest currency hedgers and a major participant in U.S. wheat futures markets. A grower lobby said these losses are imposing high costs on growers who are facing a sharp downturn in production due to drought. Meanwhile, one of Australia's biggest wheat growers, Ron Greentree, says that nation's wheat crop will total no more than 8 million metric tons. Greentree, who farms in New South Wales, says producers are in a state of disbelief about the crop. Yesterday, J.P. Morgan's Australian unit downgraded wheat production to 11 million metric tons. The Arkansas Secretary of Agriculture says he believes he knows how unauthorized GMOs got into the 2005 long grain crop, creating a firestorm in the European Union. EU's food safety tests identified Liberty Link Rice 601, a GMO strain unapproved for human consumption. Dick Bell says mechanical issues are to blame.
This incident is a result of mechanical commingling, that it was never a breeding issue. There must have been some of the 601 seeds still left someplace in the LSU station, and someone by accident probably actually got it mixed in with the Chenier when they were getting ready to produce the Chenier seed in 2003.
Bell says trace amounts of the Liberty Link 601 rice strain are showing up in this year's harvest too. But Bell assured lawmakers that Arkansas would have procedures in place to certify 2007 rice planting seed free of the unapproved strain. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, up next, using field crops for energy is not likely to have much of an impact on the price of food. There's been a lot of concern about this new ethanol demand and its potential impact on the price of food. Now, some of the politicians, some regular Joes too, are a bit worried that using a large portion of the nation's corn crop to make fuel will put a crunch on the price of food. That's not very likely, says University of Illinois agricultural economist Bob Thompson.
I think it's easy to exaggerate how much impact this will have on food prices, because when you come right down to it, the value in our packaged and processed foods that we buy that's accounted for by raw agricultural products is not very large. I remember the famous example when former Secretary of Agriculture Earl Butz was on the Today Show, and he had a loaf of bread and he pulled two slices out and showed Barbara Walters that's how much of this loaf value goes to the farmer. All the other slices represent fraction of the cost of that loaf of bread that goes for labor services, returns on capital investment in the industry, et cetera, et cetera.
So Thompson, who specializes in agricultural policy, says, yes, bidding up the price of corn and soybeans to make them into renewable fuels like ethanol and biodiesel could have a modest impact on the price of food. It is one of the trade-offs, he says. Politicians and their constituents have been clamoring for in order to make the nation more energy independent.
Well, I think you have to remember two things. One, there's huge concern across the entire American public about the rising cost of gasoline. So, and there's also concern about our dependence on unstable and often unfriendly foreign governments for a significant part of our petroleum supply. So I think those motivations will move politicians from all across the country, urban and rural districts, to advocate much higher reliance on renewable energy and renewable energy sources that are produced here in the United States.
Two other notes on the food versus fuel debate and ethanol. Ethanol, of course, is made from field corn, about 5% of the nation's annual harvest, according to the National Corn Growers Association, is used for direct human consumption to make starch, sweeteners, and cereals. It looks like in the future, 20 to 25% of the crop will be used to produce ethanol. Half of the crop is used to feed livestock. The rest, some 20% or so, is either carried over from year to year or more likely exported. So there is enough corn to go around. And even more than that, one of the byproducts of ethanol can be used as a livestock feed. On the subject of how the corn crop is divvied up, USDA will release its October crop production figures this Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. Central Time. Dave Dickey will have the latest figures during the 8:49 pre-opening market report. Be sure to tune in to WILL AM 580 at that time. If you can't wait, you can always pick them up off our website just after 7:30. Dave will post them there at willag.org. While you're there, if you want to have them directly delivered to your email, we'll do that too. Just subscribe to our weekend newsletter, and Thursday morning you'll find all the latest figures from USDA right there in your inbox. It all happens at willag.org. Well, up next, the price of corn looks like it could go to more than $3 cash sometime in the next year. But does that mean a farmer should wait to market this season's harvest? We'll have more with Daryl Good.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Well, the bottom line, says University of Illinois Extension's Daryl Good, is that a farmer should try to make as much money as they can on a per-acre basis. Good is an agricultural economist. He says that income figure is a combination of yield times price plus government payments.
Producers have to manage all of that. And so you have producers now that are in different positions, good yields, bad yields, forward priced, not forward priced. And it's tempting for those who have forward priced, maybe at prices below current levels, to say, well, that was a mistake. Maybe I should buy out of those sales and get back into a long position. But again, recognize that this is an extremely volatile market for both corn, soybeans, and particularly wheat, and that unpricing is a risky adventure right now, so that producers really have to keep the focus on total dollars that are being generated by yield and the prices at which they're marketing the crop.
Daryl Good says if that is a profitable level, price times yield, then the decision made to sell should stand. Trying to pull more out of the market by unpricing a crop, he says, is just a bad idea. Good notes that the cash price of corn this fall is nearly a dollar more than the lowest Central Illinois cash price last fall of $1.64 a bushel. Still, this higher price does not necessarily mean a corn farmer will have a bigger income this season than last.
The point being, last year with that low price on corn, there were some very large LDP payments available, and a lot of producers got 35, 40 cents a bushel on top of the cash price that they marketed their crop. And now that the marketing year is over, we know that there will be about a 35 cent countercyclical payment for the 2005 crop as well. That comes on top, of course, the direct payment, which producers will get this year too. And there were some insurance payments made last year as well. So when you look at total dollar of income last year, it was certainly much larger than the $2 average cash price that farmers receive for the corn crop. This year, in contrast, it looks like prices will stay above levels that will generate any LDPs or countercyclical payments. So that's 70 or 75 cents a bushel on base bushels that producers will not get this year that they got last year. So to this juncture, the higher prices are nice. Everybody is happy to get more from the market and I think less from the government. But total dollars generated at this point haven't really exceeded what we got last year.
At least not yet. Daryl Good says the market is telling farmers their corn crop will be worth more later than it is today. That means they should likely store their crop for a push into higher prices later in the marketing year. The marketing year for corn runs from fall to fall. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your regional newscast comes up next.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. House Speaker Dennis Hastert of Illinois says he'll dismiss anyone in his staff found to have covered up concerns about former Congressman Mark Foley's approaches to House pages. Hastert says he huddled with his staff members last week, and he believes they acted appropriately in handling information on Foley's conduct. Indiana House Republicans are vowing to take steps to limit illegal immigration in Indiana. They want to ensure that state agencies comply with federal laws that deny illegal immigrants public benefits, such as housing and health care assistance. The family of a 20-year-old man shot to death by a police officer in Normal 4 years ago has received a confidential settlement from the town's insurer. Judge James Sook approved the settlement today and agreed to a request from the family of Nathan Rue to keep the settlement's amount private. Rue was an ISU student when he was killed in 2002. In court documents, the officer and town officials contend the shooting was justified. A $1.5 million federal grant will help local disaster planners make arrangements to move and care for animals as well as humans. The head of the Regional Institute of Community Policing says every evacuation plan should include a plan for animals because many people refuse to leave their homes without their pets. Today is the last day to register to vote if you're a resident of Illinois or Indiana. In Champaign County, you have until 5 p.m. to sign up at the Brookins Center in Urbana or at the county clerk's remote kiosks at the Illini Union, the University of Illinois Undergraduate Library, and at the Round Barn IGA Supermarket on Champaign's west side. You'll need to bring two pieces of ID for registering, one listing your permanent residence. The Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District wants public input on how to address future transportation needs. The MTD is holding a series of public meetings over the next 2 weeks using a Monopoly-like game called Transopoly, in which residents can play to show their concerns on transit issues ranging from bus routes to road improvements. The first meeting is tonight at the Illinois Terminal Building in downtown Champaign. If you want to take part, contact the Champaign-Urbana MTD in advance, either by phone or through a special website, ihavemyplan.com. My in the website address is spelled M-I. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL. We're joined now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Tuesday afternoon by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hi, Don.
Hello there.
How are you today?
Well, doing pretty good. It looks like we're going to get a taste of the seasons changing here real soon.
Yeah, it's going to get cold how soon and how quickly. And I heard somebody say something about snow at some point, but I just can't imagine that's the case.
Well, it is certainly looking like this. This system that's going to be sweeping its way south out of Canada is unusually strong for this time of year. It's going to bring temperatures down into the middle 20s in many areas of the Corn Belt for Thursday night. And ahead of the cold front and just behind it, areas of showers and thunderstorms are going to be likely. And, yes, it is going to be cold enough, and some of those showers will contain snow, especially late Thursday and into Thursday night before skies begin to clear.
How odd is this for the month of October?
Well, in October, we've certainly seen it before. Maybe it would come a little bit later in October, maybe 2 weeks from now, not as soon as it is. But this is likely going to be enough cold air, especially in the northern and northwest Corn Belt areas, that will probably put an end to the growing season. If we see skies clear and winds light enough, I would not be surprised to see 24, 25 degrees as far south as central and southern Illinois Thursday night and Friday morning.
Likely not to have too much of an impact on most of the crop as they have toured, but I'm wondering after this, will we see the cold air continue? Will we have cooler temperatures? Will we warm back up? What happens?
Well, we are going to see temperatures rebound quite nicely, although they're not going to warm up as warm as they are now. We are going to see a rather cool fallish pattern behind the system, but this cold wave is going to last rather briefly, maybe a day and a half before temperatures rebound. Now, long-range trends are indicating that maybe in another 9 days, 8 days, there will be another release of cold air from Canada headed our way. So certainly looks like fall has completely moved on into many areas of the USA.
By the time we get to Thursday of this week and then hold for a week, there'll be a number of producers around the Corn Belt will start thinking about anhydrous ammonia application. How quickly do soil temperatures fall when air temperatures fall?
Well, there's a little bit of a lag time. One thing that will cool those soil temperatures off a little bit is a little bit of precipitation along with the cold air, as the evaporation process in the soil will cool things off quite a bit. Although we really don't see those soil temperatures really start to drop in terms of averages until we get to the end of the month when the daylight gets shorter and we have more of these cold fronts moving on in. But we will probably see a marked change in soil temperatures between where they are now, say a week from now, maybe as much as 3 to 4 degrees.
And Thursday will end the growing season here, but it's just kicking off in South America.
And they are going to be seeing some more rain showers. It does look like many areas of Brazil and Argentina looking at good chances for occasional shower activity and near normal temperatures.
And what is harvest season like in China as they finish up?
In central areas, a little bit moist. So there might be some small harvest delays there, but right now, no real big hurdles for the harvest in China.
Don, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, sir.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons. Hey, remember, when you get the opportunity, visit our website at WILLAG.org. There you can sign up for our weekend newsletter. And if you get the chance before Thursday, we'll drop that newsletter out to you Thursday morning and send to you the latest USDA crop production report numbers. If you can't get them in your email, you can always visit our website just after 7:30 a.m. Those numbers will be posted to WILLAG.org. As always, it's the harvest season. If you're traveling the back roads of the Midwest, be sure to watch out for the slow-moving vehicles. I know the farmers are looking out for you. You watch out for them. And if you're in the combine and been working hard for a week, 2 weeks now, it's time to make sure that you get plenty of sleep. Take an afternoon nap. It's scientifically proven to make sure that you'll get through the harvest season much safer. Have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.